Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, March 11th, 2018.
First reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21. From Mount Hor they set out on the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people from Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our holy gospel for this morning comes to us from the account of St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Your blood was
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to go a little bit forward in time. We're going to go to that night of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's what Jesus said to a disciple by the name of Thomas. Most of you probably remember Thomas. We tend to call him the doubter. That's where doubting Thomas came from. You see, Thomas wasn't there on that night when the risen Lord appeared to his disciples. And so Thomas insisted that unless he could see Jesus for himself, unless he could actually place his finger into Jesus' nail marks and put his hand into Jesus' wounded side, he would not believe. Well, the week went by, and when Thomas later saw Jesus for himself, he invited him to place his finger into his wounded hands. Jesus said, "Reach out your hand and put it into my side." Thomas, stop doubting. Believe. To which Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God." And of course, who can forget what Jesus said? "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." My dear friends, how blessed we are today. True believing has nothing to do with what our eyes apprehend or see. True faith is simply believing and trusting in what God says, despite what our physical senses may tell us. And this understanding of faith isn't limited to Thomas's encounter with the risen Lord, no. Jesus teaches and praises blind faith throughout the four gospel accounts, throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And St. Paul's letters tell us the very same thing. As Bible-believing Christians, this is the very foundation of who we are and what we believe. Salvation is ours by faith alone, in God's grace alone, because of Jesus Christ alone. That's a foundational teaching. But how does this foundational understanding of our faith compare to what the Lord would tell Moses to do in response to the Israelites' constant complaining? After all the Lord had done for the Israelites, they accused Moses and him of being unfair, uncaring. The same Lord who rescued them from their Egyptian captors, the same Lord who led them safely through the dry sea of the Red Sea, the same Lord who provided them with daily bread out in the barren wilderness, and the same Lord who had promised to lead them into a land of plenty that they could call their own. The word, the promise, and the action of God. It was upon them. It was all favorable. And yet those same people complained and they whined. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? There is no bread. There is no water. We detest this miserable food." And then the Lord sent venomous snakes, and they bit the people, and many Israelites would die. I suppose we could say that the lesson here is that actions have consequences. And those terrible consequences sure got the attention of the Israelites. They ran to Moses. "We sinned against you when we spoke against the Lord. Pray that the Lord will take away these snakes." So Moses, ever the faithful servant of God, prayed for all the people. And then the Lord told Moses, "Make a bronze serpent so that those who have been bitten have something to look at and live." Something to look at and live. I don't know. Could this be one of those infamous biblical contradictions that skeptics and unbelievers like to point out to Christians? Look and see and believe? There's no faith required here? Could God have different rules for different circumstances, different rules for different people? Those are the questions that skeptics ask. And those are the wrong questions. Exactly what was the Israelites looking at? Excuse me, what were the Israelites looking at? Was it what they looked at that saved them? Did this bronze serpent have some special power? Of course not. It was nothing more than a lifeless statue. When those people looked to the bronze serpent for life, they were taking God at his word. They were looking to God's word and to his promise to save them. And you know, that's kind of interesting when you think about it. The Lord takes his word and promise and connects it to a foul and offensive object, a venomous snake. What purpose does a serpent have other than to inflict pain and suffering and death? And this is what he wants the people to look at if they want to live? I don't know. Is the Lord rubbing it in the Israelites' faces? Well, obviously not, since this bronze serpent serves as an object of his mercy and forgiveness and healing. And yet to this very invisible image of pain and death, the Lord attaches his promise of life and deliverance, something that only the eyes of faith could recognize and embrace. That sounds familiar. And all the Israelites had to do was look upon it and live. Nothing they could do would save them from the serpent's venom. God called upon those people to trust in what he had promised for them to do. Nothing more. That sounds familiar. You know, I wonder if any of the Israelites told God, "Lord, I believe, I really do, but I can't look at your serpent. No, not right now. I really can't. You see, I had to push the clock ahead an hour. I didn't get enough sleep last night. I need some more rest. My head's not in the game. You know, I've got to meet some friends for breakfast today. Lord, this is the first day of that big sale. I've got to get to that store before everything I want is sold out. Oh, and the kids have to be at a soccer game this morning. Lord, can it wait until next week? Oh, I forgot. The relatives are coming in next week. Can we talk the next week after next? I hope." I wonder if any of them said, "Lord, I don't completely understand what you've told me to do. I have to process what you're saying to make sure that I agree with you. So I'm going to abstain for the time being." What do you think? Would any of those responses be acceptable to God? It would have been impossible for those people to be saved without taking God at his word and taking their eyes off whatever else they might have been doing at that time to look at that bronze serpent and live. What's this all about? In a word, it's called repentance, which means about face, turning back to God from wherever it is you might have been headed. You know, today's text is so appropriate for this holy season, when we should be devoting our hearts and minds in their fullest to looking to the cross of our Savior so that we might live. That's what Lent's all about. We need to hear about what Christ suffered in our place. And we need to understand the great price that he paid so that we could live. But all too often, we hear only those familiar words. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Our Lord Jesus spoke those words. They're good words. They're very good words. Truer words have never been spoken. But you know something? I really fear that many of us take those words for granted and can never be bothered to hear anything else. How many of you think of John 3:16 in relationship to the Lenten season? How many of you think about John 3:16 at all? I don't know, when it comes to John 3:16, maybe this is a little bit dated, but I tend to think that more people associate the season of Lent with football season and with those field goals where you have those John 3:16 signs there. And I don't even see too many of those anymore. But I think more people think about that than they do about the season of Lent. I think we need to ask, why did God send his only begotten Son into the world? Now, I don't know how you'll answer, but many people I'll talk to will offer a common answer. It's very typical. It's also a little bit generic. Why? Because he loves us. Well, true. Absolutely right. But he loves us. What does that mean? as followers of Jesus Christ, in our studies and in our sharing, we need context, my friends. And you know the context. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son into the world to be nailed to and lifted up on a cross, to die for all of our sins so that we might live. Thanks be to God, because we need that even today. You know what hasn't changed? We're still being attacked by those deadly serpents of sin, death, and the power of the devil. And my friends, I dare say it that way because so many people don't believe that they're sick and dying in sin. Instead of coming, instead of listening to God's word, instead of taking it to heart and applying it to our lives, people chalk up things to luck or karma or clean or bad living. And if all that fails, they blame it, whatever it may be, on God. They refuse to believe that the wage of sin is still death, and that the devil is very much alive and active among us today. And that's exactly why God calls out to you. He calls out to us and he calls us to repentance. That is to stop going in our own sinful directions. To stop telling God how our life's going to be. What we're going to do or not going to do. And instead turning back to the cross and fixing our gaze intently upon Jesus, who came to give us life because we were already dead in our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one and only soul for our life and deliverance. My friends, if you look to anyone or anywhere else, you're going to be disappointed. And worse yet, you're going to end up empty-handed. He alone has promised to abide with you always. He alone gives you life abundantly, him, here through his word and sacrament. And that is through his word and promise of life, which he attaches to simple things. Things like water and bread and wine. Are these things supernatural in and of themselves? No. Does our faith add the missing ingredients here? Of course not. Does the rest of the world think we're fools for believing such things? Yes, they do. But we need not care about what the world thinks of us, for this is God's word. This is his promise to us of life and salvation and forgiveness. The word whom God made flesh and hung on a cross to die for us all. And the word made flesh who continues to abide with us right here today. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, look upon your Lord in eyes of faith. Here, in this life, in the midst of this valley of the shadow of death, for that is what this is. He wants you to look and see and believe so that you may have life, so that your life may be full and abundant and eternal. He is your life and deliverance. You have come. So receive him with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Forever, he's a faithful God to all generations.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.